Good morning. Ministering in competition with great fans made me feel on board a Boeing 747. So why don't you fasten your seatbelts? We sincerely hope that the captain is going to speak. The captain of the host of the Lord. Well, before we will look into Matthew 5, I would like just to share a few more introductory words with you. If you would please look in John chapter 2. John Gospel chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, beholding his signs which he was doing. But Jesus on his part was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men, and because he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning men, for he himself knew what was in man. Now here we see that the Lord did not commit himself to these people who believed. He saw the signs he did because he knew what was in their hearts. It's not going to be signs and wonders that will enable us to behold our Lord. It's only when our hearts are being transformed into the image of the Lamb of God. As we read yesterday, behold the Lamb of God. The Spirit descended out of heaven upon him and remained on him. And I came across a most remarkable word in Psalm 18 this morning that I would like to share with you also before we look into Matthew 5. Psalm 18 and verse 25. With the kind thou dost show thyself kind. With the blameless thou dost show thyself blameless. With the pure thou dost show thyself pure. And with the crooked thou dost show thyself astute. Now here is the kind of heart we have got will enable us to see the Lord, the same kind, the pure shall see God. Those that are pure in heart shall see God, shall behold God. Those that are blameless, the Lord will reveal unto him as the one who is blameless. And the one who is crooked, the Lord will reveal himself in another manner. So how important it is that we understand the importance of bringing our hearts right before God, having the right attitude, having the right spirit within us, having the nature of the Lamb of God, so that we can behold him, so that he will commit himself unto us, show himself unto us in these days. May the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Father, we come unto you this morning. Lord, do remember us. Remember that we are dust. We are nothing. O God, without you we are nothing. Without your presence we are nothing. We thank you this morning that through the precious blood of Jesus we can come before you. Lord, it is our desire to behold the Lamb of God, to see you, Lord, to look into that wonderful nature of the Lamb of God, to behold the Lord and be transformed into the same image. Father, we ask you to be with us. We thank you for being with us and enabling us both to speak and to hear, because we can do none of these. Neither can we speak nor can we hear without your Spirit resting upon us. Lord, thank you for being with us this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Reading from verse 1. And when he saw the multitude, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit. A Norwegian theologian has translated this verse as follows. Blessed are those who, as far as their inner being is concerned, what they are and what they do, appears before God as beggars. As beggars. Well, we certainly do hope that we have got quite a crowd of all the spiritual beggars of America with us this week. God is looking for people that has a teachable spirit, that has an ability to receive. When the Lord pointed out the true representatives of the kingdom of God, he took within the crowd of the disciples just a child. It was not a learned scholar. It was no priest. It was no scribe. It was just a small child. And he said that if we were not able to receive as a child receives, we would not even be able to enter into the kingdom. Well, God doesn't want us to be childish or to remain babes in Christ. But there is some aspect of the child that God wants us to have all during our time, as long as we are here, no matter what we get of knowledge and growth and maturity in our life. And that is the ability to be able to receive and receive and receive and receive afresh from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it is a sad fact that one of the greatest hindrances today is that many of the Lord's people, they have lost the ability to receive from God. That might in the end lead many of the Lord's people into deception in the end. We read about the church in Laodicea. Well, as a matter of fact, it started already in the church in Ephesus. The letter to the church in Ephesus. We see how rich the church was, how able it was, how mature it was. There was endurance, there was activity, there was many things, the gift of discerning the false prophets from the genuine ones. But still the Lord pointed out that something serious were beginning to happen among these children, this group of believers. They were losing the ability to receive from God. They were beginning to rely on what they had got. And they were in fact in danger of being able to go on in the work of the Lord and in the life in the church without needing badly the presence of the Lord, the lampstand and the light, the presence of the Holy Spirit. I told some of my friends that I went to Norway 2 years ago and spoke to a minister who has been a Lutheran priest for many years, but he left that denomination, and he said to me, you know, I left it because I found out that the doctrines or the system of the doctrines was so strong that they could go on and go on and go on whether the Lord was there or not. It doesn't matter. So he said, I joined the Pentecostals. And do you know what I found out, he said? They didn't have a strong system of doctrine, at least not in Norway. But they got some strong men, strong personalities, that were able to keep together the whole organization. So they didn't even need the Holy Spirit sometimes. I'm not criticizing neither the Lutherans or the Pentecostals, because I know it could easily happen to us, to you and me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are able to receive from the Lord. You know, sometimes I really fear that the Lord should bypass me and what he is doing today. If you look up in Luke's Gospel, the 4th chapter, and verse 25, this is what I fear could happen to me and to many of the Lord's people. Luke 4:25, but I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land, and yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Sarepta in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And all in the synagogue were filled with rage, and they as they heard these things, and they rose up and cast him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went his way. Oh, friends, what would happen if the Lord would come into our synagogue today, into our churches, into our fellowship? Would we be so rich in everything we have experienced, in everything we know as these religious people, that the Lord would have to bypass us and go to someone else, someone who was really poor and longing for him, to meet him? May the Lord help us that nothing of what we have experienced so far should hinder us in going on with him and experience much more of what he has got. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They shall, the kingdom of heaven are theirs. Sometimes I feel that the Lord just has to take away a lot of the blessings that we have got. If you look up in the scripture, in Jeremiah, in the second chapter, Jeremiah 2. And verse 2 to 3. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember concerning you the devotion of your youth, the love of your betrothal, your following after me in the wilderness, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first of his harvest. All who ate of it became guilty. Evil came upon them, declares the Lord. I remember concerning you, says the Lord, your devotion, your following after me in the wilderness, a land not sown, a place with almost anything, a place with no blessing, a place with no riches at all. Now, I think that sometimes God has to lead his people into the wilderness, lead it back to the wilderness, because we are being taken so much up with everything that we have got, with all the riches we have got, with all the knowledge we have, with all the gifts we are experiencing. And then we will experience a time as the one the people of God were experiencing in the book of Hosea in chapter 2. And verse 5 it says, for their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, I'll go after my lover, who gave me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up her way with thorns, and I'll build a wall against her, so that she cannot find her path. And she will pursue her lovers, but she will not overtake them. And she will seek them, but she will not find them. Then she will say, I'll go back to my first husband, for it was better for me then than now. For she does not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the new wine and the oil, and lavished on her silver and gold which they used for Baal. Therefore I'll take back my grain at harvest time, and my new wine in its season. I'll also take away my wool and my flax, given to cover her nakedness. And then I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, And no one will rescue her out of my hand. I will also put an end to all her gaiety, her feasts, her new moons, her Sabbath, and all her feastal assemblies. And in verse 14 to 15, therefore, behold, I will allure her, bring her into the wilderness, and speak kindly to her. Then I will give her her vineyard from there, and the valley of Achor as the door of hope, and she will sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it will come about in that day, declares the Lord, that you will call me Aishi, and no longer call me Bali. Here you have the picture of how God is dealing in a strange way with his people, because they became so rich with all the oil and flax and wine that were lavished upon them, all the blessings they got from the Lord. So they began to trust and rely on the blessings. They began to trust and rely on the knowledge. They began to be able to go on without being poor in spirit, without being able to receive from the Lord afresh. And the only way the Lord could bring his people back to himself was to wrap his people from everything they had, from the oil as well as the wine and the flax and the wool, wrap her, his church, so that it would appear naked and poor before the Lord. And in order to do so, he led his people out in the wilderness to speak to his people there, in order that the people of God may discover the Lord afresh, may discover the presence of the Lord, may learn to sing as in her youth, where it was the Lord that mattered. And it didn't matter what was around. It was not the blessing that mattered. It was the Lord himself that mattered. Oh, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are able to empty themselves, to unload themselves, not only from the burdens of sin and problems and difficulties, but to unload themselves with past blessings and past experiences in order to meet the Lord afresh and receive from him whatever he has got to give. Blessed are the poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit is, in fact, to be utterly dependent upon the Lord. To be a beggar, that's a good word, a spiritual beggar. Sometimes it's hard to remain in that position. It's difficult to remain in that position. I heard about a minister in England. It's only in England these things happen. He went to a conference to speak, but unfortunately he forgot his notes. So he phoned his wife that were coming later in the evening to get his notes with her. But he had a meeting without the notes. So he appeared before the audience and he said, "Well, dear people of God, I'm sorry. I forgot my notes, so this afternoon I have to trust the Lord. But tonight I'll get my notes back and things are gonna get better." Sometimes I feel that with or without notes, it doesn't matter, it's equally bad with me. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I know a brother in America. He was a brother that did a lot of counseling for young people. So he thought he would make out a catalog of answers to questions. He got so many questions. So he began to put down answers to the various questions. For instance, if a young man would come and say, I have such a problem with smoking. Well, he would say, just a minute. He would look up in the catalog. And he would say, well, now listen carefully. Point one. Have you got any cigarettes on you, please? Deliver them to me. Point two. Please meditate on the following scriptures. And he will give them a few scriptures. Point three. Every time you are tempted, please don't hesitate to call me. Now, it worked wonderful on the first one. But the second one, it didn't work at all. So, at last, he took the whole book and he threw it in the garbage thing. And he said, I began to ask the Lord. When I sat before them, I said, Lord, Lord, what am I going to do? How can I help them? Please, Lord, give me an answer. I need an answer. And from that point of, his ministry blossoming as never before. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven are theirs. Where does the Spirit of God rest? Where would the Spirit of God come? The Spirit of God is like the wind, we learn in the scripture. And the wind is always blowing where there is a vacuum. There the wind will go to fill that vacuum. Now we hope that there will be a vacuum in our hearts in these days, so that the Spirit of God will come and rest upon us. Look up in Romans and the 8th chapter. And verse 26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I love this scripture. The Spirit helps our weakness. Well, the Spirit doesn't help anything else. If we come, for instance, to a prayer meeting with all our well-prepared prayers and everything we want to say to the Lord, unless it's really a burden of the Spirit, we will kind of block the way for the Spirit to work freely amongst us, because he only helps our weakness. He only comes where there is a vacuum, where is a great need, where we are poor in spirit. There we will inherit the kingdom of God. There the Lord will bestow upon us his riches. Oh, I would so wish that the Lord of the people of God could learn how to disable themselves, to empty themselves, to unload themselves in the presence of the Lord. Do you remember when the Lord spoke about the child as the true representative of the one who are going to enter into the kingdom of God? He just after met a young man, a young rich ruler, a good man, an able man, as far as I can see, a man of good morality, a fine young man, that wanted to come into the kingdom of God, that wanted to be saved. But the Lord pointed out there was only one thing that he needed, and that was to be poor in spirit. That was to be able to unload himself. That was at that particular event that the Lord spoke about how difficult it is for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. How difficult. And he used the picture of the camel who has to be unloaded completely and bow down in order to be able to come through the narrow gate in the wall of Jerusalem. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven are there. Now, we want to behold the Lamb of God. We want to look into his life. We want to see whether he was poor in spirit. Well, we do find it, this tremendous important spiritual quality in his life, and we certainly do in Philippians, the 2nd chapter. We read in verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Or have the attitude of Christ Jesus in yourself. The nature of the Lamb of God, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped. How rich he was. How rich the Lord Jesus was. He was equal with God. He existed in the form of God. He had everything. He was everything. But he emptied himself. He unloaded himself. He disabled himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, brothers and sisters, are we going to come into the kingship? Are we going ever to reign with Christ? Are we going to come upon the throne and exercise the authority of God? There's no other way than the way of the Lamb of God. There's no one else that the Lord can trust with such a responsibility. There's no one else that God can trust with such a mighty power to rule, to reign with Christ, unless we have really learned to unload ourselves, to empty ourselves, to disable ourselves before God, to appear before God in what we are and what we do as beggars, as those who are able to receive, as those who are willing to forget past experiences and past blessings and past knowledge and come before God at this time, just as truly as true beggars, begging Him to reveal Himself unto us. He emptied Himself. He did it willingly. No one forced Him to do so. He did it all by Himself. He refused to do anything independent of His Father. In a sense, there has never been a man that was so weak in himself. There's never been a person on this earth that was so poor in spirit as the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God. If you look in John's Gospel, I think you are familiar with all this that we are speaking on this morning. It's just a simple message. The thing that matters is not to know all this, but come into a true experience of it. The thing that matters is really to learn to empty yourself before the Lord, to disable yourself so that you can experience the Spirit of God coming upon you, resting upon you, being with us. In John 5th chapter, verse 19, Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself is doing, and greater works than these will He show Him, that you may marvel." That is the avenue to revelation. The Father shows the Son. The Father does not commit Himself to anyone else than those who are truly in the nature of the Lamb of God. Those who are poor in spirit, those who have ceased from doing anything and being anything but that which the Father wants them to be, but that which the Father wants them to do. The Lord Jesus said, "I cannot do a thing. I can do nothing." Well, He had the privilege of being able to do anything He wanted. He was equal to God. He had everything. But He emptied Himself in order to be able to behold His Father, to depend upon His Father. For even the smallest detail in His life. I remember how the Lord opened up this to me, looking into a certain place in Mark's Gospel, seeing in a place where the Lord Jesus were, and a lot of people came there, and He went away to be with the Lord in prayer, and Peter came to Him and said, "Lord, they're looking for You. Lots of people, big crowd." But He said, "We ought to go to the small villages, because also they must know the gospel." Oh, He depended upon God where to go. I would have chosen the big revival in that city. I would have gone on for weeks. But the Lord Jesus was never guided or led by the needs around Him. He could not. He was poor in spirit. He emptied Himself in order to behold the Father, and everything the Father revealed unto Him, these were the things that the Son was taken up with. In verse 30 in John chapter 5, it says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. The Lord Jesus wouldn't speak if He didn't hear anything. Oh, sometimes maybe it would be better not to speak a word. Sometimes it would be better for some of us who are to minister the Word of God that we stood up in the assembly and we said, brothers and sisters, we have nothing to say. He would not speak a word. He would not deliver a message unless His Father would speak to Him. He was not able to speak. He was not able to judge. Think of all the judgment that we are doing in our midst. How we judge situations, people, and everything else. Sometimes it would be good if we didn't do it. Unless we have heard from the Father. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. In chapter 8, 28 in John's Gospel, Jesus therefore said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. Why? Because I do nothing of my own initiative. Where does the blessing rest? Where does the Spirit rest? Where there is a vacuum? Where there is an emptiness before God? Where we have disabled ourselves in the presence of the Lord, there we are able to see, to say, and He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Our brother Paul, the apostle, he was poor in spirit too. If you look up in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Here is the man speaking, a man who is truly poor in spirit, a man who is able to empty himself of all the things that had been his past experiences, all that had any value, all that he could build on, all that he could rely on, all that he could go on with. And truly he was the most able person but he counted it all for rubbish, for loss, in order to gain Christ, in order to come deeper into the likeness of the Lamb of God. He was not hindered by past experiences. He was not hindered by past blessings. I don't think we should despise the past blessings or the past experiences, but they must never be so big to us and so strong that we cannot receive from God, that we can have this wonderful attitude of being poor in spirit, being able to receive more of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Let us close with reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 1. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Christ Jesus and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Oh, how important this is. I determined, we had to make the choice. I determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Oh, what a spirit, what an attitude. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's where the Spirit rests. That's where the Spirit is demonstrating. That's where the Spirit is manifest. Where we are poor in spirit, where there is weakness, where we are truly helpless and depending upon the Lord, where we are truly able to receive from God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. May God indeed impress this attitude into our hearts. May we find in these days the same attitude that were in Christ Jesus being found in our midst, in our hearts. Amen.